We kick off hour number two of the program. And get this, Terrapin Brewing is sponsoring the voluntary action this week. The drive is going to be out at Hops and Hollers on remote Friday from 3 until 6, their normal time slot, of course. And it's brought to you by Terrapin Brewing. So head on out to Hops and Hollers this Friday afternoon. Not sure about the weather on Friday, but man, it's been nice to be out having a beer this week and this time of year. And hopefully it will be on Friday. Swing by Hops and Hollers on North Central Street there and hang out with the drive for a bit. Have some Terrapin Brewing beer. And they're going to sponsor voluntary action on Saturday after the Alabama game. It's 3:30 start, so voluntary action, of course, will be that evening. Terrapin Beer Company, proudly pouring a unique variety of beers in Knoxville since 2002. Whether you're taking Terrapin to your tailgate, couch tailgate, or celebrating responsibly at your local bar or restaurant, Terrapin Beer Company has a beer for you. Try the flagship. It's the Terrapin Hopscutioner.
Hopscutioner.
7.3% killer IPA. If you're in the mood for something more tropical, they got the Luau Crunkles IPA with real passion fruit orange. Sounds delicious. For a lighter weight IPA, there's a 99 calorie option as well. Take Terrapin to your tailgate with the IPA Survival Kit Variety 12-pack. Check out terrapinbeer.com to learn more about the... Shouldn't that be... Terraprint Sustainably Initiative and locate the Terrapin beer near you. Terraprint. They're trying to be, you know, easy on the environment. Less of an environmental footprint.
I thought your brain just stopped.
Sorry. Well, I was going from the IPA survival kit, so I thought that word should be pint, but it is supposed to be print.
Nate just hates the environment.
Check out Terrapin Beer to learn about their Terraprint Sustainability Initiative and locate a Terrapin beer near you. So there you go. Yep, it's the official Bama game pre-party Friday afternoon. The drive live 3 to 6 at Hops and Hollers. Multiple Terrapin drafts will be featured, and you can grab your tailgate supplies with Terrapin 6-packs or 12-packs to go right there at Hops and Hollers. Terrapin swag and prizes will be up for grabs all afternoon. That's this Friday, 3 to 6, Hops and Hollers, brought to you by Terrapin Brewing, right there in North Central Street. So swing by, hang out. All right, back to the quarterback position. You can give us a shout on the G3 Help Me Hotlines. We've got Matt up first. We're talking about what you would do at Tennessee with the Tennessee quarterbacks moving forward. What's up, Matt?
Yo.
Terrapin, is that not the beer that has the turtle, Ninja Turtle on the front?
I don't know if it's a Ninja Turtle.
Or a turtle.
Yes.
What was your all's favorite Ninja Turtle, by the way?
Oh, come on. Big Michelangelo guy. Mm.
Yeah, I was a Michelangelo fan myself.
I like Leonardo.
Of course you did, nerd.
You absolutely you are such a Leonardo. Like you
I know,
are
right.
I bet Davey rooted for Slasher.
Who's Slasher? Shredder?
Shredder.
I was like, that's going to be some new bad
dude,
guy.
You gotta, yeah.
And you can't even land a blow.
I was thinking of the guitarist from Guns N' Roses.
Slash.
Crash and burn, Will. Crash and burn. Well, guys, I don't know, man. It's not looking too good, is it? Kind of like we've been here before about, 7-8 million times, right?
Mm.
I never thought we'd have a coach worse at handling quarterbacks than Butch Jones, and we found one. We found one. Yeah. We found one that can't even watch the game and tell you, like, what happened.
Yeah, you know what really sucks even worse? Just a, like, you know, news break or news flash or whatever. The next coach we hire is going to be even worse, right?
What do you mean?
Just go ahead. I mean, just whatever we do. I mean, it's going to get worse. Like, I just think I've realized, like, I'm always like, nah, man, this is rock bottom. Nah. This has got to be the worst it gets. It can't get any worse. And it just, I don't see how it's really, really possible to get worse. But somehow, man, I don't get it, man. We hire these coaches that are just, and why does he lock practice up like he's saving anyways? Like
this year
salary.
It's a COVID thing
because they have to mother cuss the offensive line to get them to do anything. So they don't want the good
well, somebody
they
needs
don't
to
want
mother
the good
cuss.
Christian, the good Christian people of East Tennessee to know how much it takes to get those offensive linemen to get their fat asses in gear and hit somebody.
Yeah, well, somebody needs to be mother cussing Pruitt.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's firing the only coach on his staff that's halfway decent this year. I mean, am I missing something? The defensive line hasn't played that bad. I mean, what the hell's going on?
Apparently he doesn't like the way they're being coached.
Oh, well, geez, dude. There's about five other positions
nice
you could look at. Yeah, I don't get it, man. Like, it's just crazy,
Matt, you're right. We're getting into the land, though, of where, like, I don't know if it was you that said it or one of the other guys yesterday that called in and said, we have to hire a proven head coach. You're getting to the range where the only proven head coaches that you're going to be able to hire have some type of issue in their background, and that's why you can get them. Or you're going to have to, like, find a Bruce Pearl in football terms, like some up-and-comer where you're Philip Fulmer or the next AD and you correctly identify a super talented guy before others think he's ready and you give him the job and he really is that good.
Isn't that what we did here? We tried to identify a guy who we thought was really...
Yeah, but you went the coordinator route instead of finding a guy that's already run an entire program.
I think I don't know if we're obviously not the point where they're going to hire anybody this year, but, dude, mm-hmm. I would love if they just came full circle, eat the crow, which they won't do, and get Lane Kiffin back up here. He would come back in a heartbeat, especially if you're looking at realistically, if we don't pull the trigger this year, which we won't, but after the end of next year, if Lane kind of has a sustainable, which I think he's going to down at Ole Miss, you offer Lane the job.
He comes to Knoxville next year, doesn't he?
He does. We're not getting Lane, but you talk about an Ole Miss coach.
Davey's got the djembe drums going for you, man. I don't know if you can hear those.
How do you feel about Hugh Freeze, Matt?
Hugh Freeze is awesome, though. I mean, any dude that coaches from a hospital bed, man, he's got my vote. I'll take
football
Hugh
guy.
Freeze. Yeah, football guy.
Got they the can't baggage, see me.
I don't care, man. At this point, I don't care.
Davey also wears Liberty University shirt today, so he's all in.
I hear it now. I couldn't hear it a minute ago. I'll tell you what, on the quarterbacks, you got to play Bailey. I mean, but they're not going to. So, I mean, it's kind of a wash at this point. But at this point, you know, let me ask you guys something real quick, and I'll hang up and listen too. Do we not have another player? I mean, we just keep talking about these three or four quarterbacks. Is there not some other dude, an athlete on the field that can handle the ball, and you just run a pistol or some just
– Jimmy,
I mean, we've
Jimmy
been
Holiday.
Beat that way before.
Jimmy the Jet.
Right?
Is it
Holiday that was a quarterback?
Yeah,
Jimmy Holiday.
So is that not an option we could literally run? I mean, just something different. I mean, we've been beat
that
way.
It's an option.
Before.
They won't do it though.
D. Beckwith played quarterback in high school. You could line him up at the Wildcat. He can throw it a little bit.
Wow.
I mean, I'm up for anything now.
Yeah.
The last five games, I mean, might as well get a little. I don't want to say crazy, but you got to think outside the box at this point. If those guys aren't ready to do a whole game, then do what you did against South Carolina. Go Wildcat a series, bring in a quarter. Like, I realize it's a lot of work, but could you not have just, I don't know, 20 plays for each guy heading into Arkansas, plus a few Wildcat packages for maybe D-Beckwith, maybe Jimmy Holiday? If they can't put together the whole, you know, 60-play playbook and game plan, can you not get one ready to do this and the other ready to do that?
Again, I think all that's BS. Like, I think Pruitt saying we put more on our quarterback than anybody else in the SEC, I think that's BS. I think, like, J.T. Stroud and Brian Maurer have been here for multiple years. How do they not know they've been here two whole years or, you know, all last season with Jim Chaney's offense. Like, if they don't know the offense yet, we got even worse problems. Surely you could run.
I would think so.
Surely they would know the whole offense, and then you could just have the package you're talking about with whatever wrinkle you want to go with. Like it makes no sense.
Like is a cover a victory in your mind on Saturday? Because it definitely is in mine.
What? Which line?
20-21. I mean, hell, anything less than 20 is a victory in my mind. Like we can't do it when we have what we would call a good team out there. Like much less one that looks like we're going through a lot of dysfunction right now. I mean, we've scored more points for the other team the last six quarters than we have ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, sure. Like, it doesn't really matter to me that much. I mean, it just depends on how they play. Like, I don't.
Is he going to start JG?
Probably.
Yeah.
And I got nothing for that. I don't know what to even do with it. You know what I mean? I don't even know how. If the in-game reps are so vital, he said there's nothing that can replace live action.
Mm-hmm.
Then why are we wasting them on Jarrett Garantano?
Mm.
He's had 38 appearances for 38 times. He has been able to. Do you know how special it is to run on the field in the orange and white and be the quarterback of the University of Tennessee? I mean, it's the stuff dreams are made of. And we've allowed that guy 38 times to run out there and hold success or failure for hundreds of thousands of people in his hands, and he hasn't taken care of it. At what point do you just wise up and go, this isn't the right person? This isn't it. I mean, there have been guys at other schools that get three possessions to start a game the first year. Dewan Mathis will never see the field again for Georgia. That kid probably dreamed all the last mm-hmm. few years. When he committed to Georgia, his dream from that point on was to start at quarterback for the University of Georgia. He got a quarter and a half. Is that right? I think he came in for a few plays at the end of that Arkansas. He got a piece of one game. And unless there's some injuries or mop-up, like, he will never take a meaningful snap for Georgia again.
Mm.
But we've allowed Jarrett Garantano to go through to go rogue, to say, I know more than you, Jeremy Pruitt, Chris Winkie, Jim Chaney, I'm sneaky. Like, the amount of ways that he has not just, I mean, most of these poor kids, it's an accident, right? Dewan Mathis wants to make the best play for Georgia mm-hmm. football. He just can't do it. JG purposely went, I know what's best. I'm going to sneak it here. He purposely broke your heart. And we still go back to him. It's like what Will said this during the break. It's like a relationship where we know they're not best together. We know that Tennessee football and Jeremy and Jarrett Garantano are not what's best for each other. But Jeremy Pruitt keeps enabling the relationship, and we're all the friends going, what the hell are you doing? We told you he was going to break your heart. Why did you go back to him? We tried to tell you. We have tried to tell you this over and over and over. And ultimately, you're going to be single for the rest of your life, Jeremy Pruitt. You're never going to get an SEC job again, because once Tennessee fires you, they're going to be like, that guy's not a head coach. He's only coordinator material. Great coordinator. And maybe Jeremy Pruitt doesn't care. Maybe he'll be happy to go back to Alabama and be Nick Saban's coordinator here in a couple years and help him ride off into the sunset. I don't know. But, like, if you want to grow as a coach, you've got to get the other side of the ball right. And he made the worst possible hire offensive coordinator, completely hamstrung him on his style of offense, and that was a train wreck.
The first one.
Tyson Helton we're talking about. Then he brings in Jim Chaney, gives him a little more freedom. We see better offense. We're able to do some things that we couldn't do in year one, but he's hamstringing him with his personnel decision. It's like an abusive relationship. And because what we're being told by Jeremy Pruitt is, it's just three or four plays he wants back. He's our best chance to win. Our other guys aren't ready. I mean, it's we are being manipulated by a coach that, I mean, Butch Jones at least tried to manipulate, tried to lie to you. I think Jeremy Pruitt is just this stupid.
Man.
I mean, I don't think this is some master plan to get an extra year or two out of his contract like it was with Butch Jones. I just think Jeremy Pruitt watches offense and just doesn't see it. Like, look around college. Watch any other college football game. Their quarterbacks just, I mean, I know Matt Corral had a bad game, but in like we've said in
he
other
games. He had a game, really bad game.
Really bad. Awful.
Six picks.
It's like KJ got Costello level.
Yep.
But he had a bad game, and they were still in that game till they Arkansas went up.
That right there is my biggest argument for a change. Like, JG's plays take you out of the game. He turns it over on his side of the field, or he throws it to him in a position where they return it for a touchdown, or they can pick it up and score. Like, his turnovers immediately lead to points.
Matt Corral had thrown, I think, 5 picks in the game. They got a stop or a pick or whatever. They got the football back down 13 with, like, I don't know, 6-7 minutes left in the game. He had been awful. And all this but because he kept taking shots and they ran the ball when they were supposed to, and he ran, they went down the field and scored a touchdown in like 53 seconds. And we're now down 6 with still plenty of time to win the game. Like, JG never gives you the upside. He can give you the downside of Costello and Corral and I would almost argue, watching all of college football Saturday, that the interception rate is much higher with just kids in general. But it's because these offenses are so, they're throwing the ball so much more. Mm-hmm. Like, there's going to be more picks.
I mean, hell, Bo Nix had 3 interceptions and they still lost in dramatic fashion. Like, I know Auburn is a little bit of a different tier. I think they're better overall, but I mean, like, still. He still is able to put his team in places to win while also throwing and making mistakes.
Yeah, like, you get the good and the bad.
Sam Howell had an awful start, but then late in the game just starts bringing them back. Boom, boom, boom. Big play, blue play, touchdown, touchdown. And like, we never, like, there's no chance for that. So why are we rolling the dice with the same level of risk when there's no reward out there? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, and it seems like, I know we had mentioned multiple times about the players, it seemed like they gave up too. It also seems like close to the end of these games, at least these past two, where the play calling has also been kind of given up. It's just been like, let's just get out of here.
Yeah,
if you know what I mean.
Yeah, because if JG's your quarterback, I don't think you want to, you know, put him in a hurry up, throw it around all over the place. Exactly. That's not his game.
It limits it to where then it, I mean,
it's like, oh, you're down 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter? Yeah, just run the ball. Let's get out of here. Like, that's ridiculous in the modern game. Like, it's ridiculous.
Exactly. And it's not like we're necessarily maybe giving up as just we, like, no, we can't do it. There's no reason to call all these plays if they're not going to be able to be executed. Like, there's no reason to give a game plan out like that if they're not even going to have a chance to execute it.
And it's been like that since Jeremy Pruitt started. I mean, we didn't want to admit it when JG played at least well enough to get the win. But this Tennessee running offense, since the first day Jeremy Pruitt took the job, has been – it feels hard. And I watch all these other teams, even teams that lose, even teams that aren't nearly as good. It just – it's not that hard. I mean, the Louisiana team has a quarterback that's not a great passer, but he's electric with his legs. They call a bunch of stuff and let him run around, and they move the ball right down the field like it's nobody's business. Coastal Carolina's has a kid that's running, like, basically shotgun triple option and can throw the ball, and they go right down the field. Not that hard. They played Kansas and just lit them up. If Tennessee played Kansas tomorrow, Tennessee would win the game probably easily. But I swear, offense would feel hard. Mm-hmm. It would feel like everything's a grind.
That's, I mean, even the 2 games you won, like, everything feels difficult, right? I mean, you've got to get a 3rd and short or a 4th and short to keep the drive alive. You've got to hit a bomb. Like, there's no just, yep, we're clipping them in the run game. We're hitting, you know, intermediate throws. Guys are running after the catch. Everything feels like a razor's edge.
I feel like Nike should let us wear the black jersey since we're going to our own funeral.
Okay.
See, when we make negative points, that's like a point. Mm. You just trash your own team, and that's why people hate you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If we roll JG out there, I honestly don't care if we get beat by 40.
Vol for life.
Yep.
Davey Hudson.
Well, somebody sent us a Vol for life snippet.
I think Davey read that earlier.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay.
They want it, the fans want it back.
He read that one from 3 minutes ago? Or did somebody already send that?
They want the Vol for life segment back.
Did you read the one about Ainge and Shuler and Clawson?
No, I did not read that one.
Oh,
okay.
It was just somebody said on Facebook, Clawson, Ainge, Shuler, they all have bad days and inconsistent play. Even Martin and Manning, it's the game. I don't know what it's the game means.
EA Sports.
It just means more.
It's in the game.
Just means more. We'll come back. We'll, I don't know what we'll do. Give us a shout if you want to. Save us, 865 546 80 tone on the G3. Help me. Can we
talk about a good Tennessee football team?
We might need some G3 help or something. I don't know. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. I'm bringing sexy back. Hey, Tennessee sports betting almost here. We're in FanDuel Sportsbook is giving you an exclusive offer to get started right now. FanDuel Sportsbook is giving users $50 in free bets just for signing up. You heard that right. $50 in free site credits to register and verify early. No deposit required. FanDuel is America's number one sports betting site. They got the odds, and they're ready to let you lock it in. Unlike other sports books, they'll pay out in as little as 24 hours. And right now, you need to head on over to FanDuel Sportsbook and download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and check out the fantastic app for yourself. Just sign up and register using our promo code 3OUT. That's the number 3OUT, so they know we sent you. When you verify early, you get $50 in site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook goes live in Tennessee. That's promo code 3OUT to get $50 in site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook goes live right here in the great state of Tennessee. Must be 21
and
or older.
This month, they're thinking, maybe move it up? Is that what they said?
November 1st is what I've heard. And
maybe earlier?
They were trying to get it ahead of that weekend. But, yeah, it's right around the corner.
Okay.
Either way. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. Yeah, I can't wait for that to go live. It's right around the corner either way, and there'll be a lot of betting opportunities the rest of the way in college football, the NFL, of course. So make sure you get the FanDuel Sportsbook app. I don't know what to do as a fan if this kind of continues. Like, the Alabama game will just kind of be a listener DM'd me before the Kentucky game and said they were basically just explaining kind of how apathetic they were and that they might just even do something different during the Kentucky game. Like, they did not even need to watch Tennessee football, which was the first time that had ever happened. For me, the Kentucky game, though, was going to be super interesting either way. Like, you know, either you're going to bounce back and play well or, you know, it'd be I kind of expected a pretty close game, kind of back and forth a little bit with Tennessee kind of taking over and winning. I had no idea that it would go as poorly as it did. I thought, you know, maybe you get one bad mistake on offense that, you know, makes the game easier for Kentucky to win. Maybe they would have one, whatever. But in no way, shape, or form did I think that Tennessee would only score 7 points in the football game.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're at this place where, I mean, for me, it's the Alabama game that I'm apathetic towards. Like, I mean, obviously, I'll still be watching. It'll still be interesting to me on some level, but I really have. I don't know. I'm slowly becoming just numb to how Tennessee does. You know, I mean,
come on in. The water's fine.
From kind of the fan that would watch like Eric Gray get a handoff, and you're literally yelling at the TV for him to, like, you know, fall forward to get 4 yards, to just somebody that just sits there on their hands, just kind of watching the whole thing. Like, I don't even know what to do with the Alabama game. Now, by the time we get to Arkansas, maybe we'll have more clarity about quarterback. Maybe that'll make people feel better. You get I feel like this is the best thing about this season has been the schedule. It's been perfect. You got South Carolina out of the gate, even though you had some reasons or excuses on why you might not play well out of the gate. You played well enough to win that one. South Carolina hasn't been as terrible as I thought they would be this year. So that win, just getting a win there on the road, is fine with me.
Mm-hmm.
You played Missouri at home and you took care of business. They've proven to be at least dangerous. You were able to do enough early against the quarterback that didn't play as well that day for them that the guy that came in later couldn't get it done. Your offense did well. You asserted your will there. That was good. Georgia could have gone a little better, but we kind of all expected them to lose that game. Okay, fine. And then really this Kentucky game is the first time it's like, holy crap, we got major problems. Like, we got big-time issues here. But now you have 3 weeks to fix them because even on your best day,
I hate that we're in year three and we're saying that
I know
the Bama game is just kind of a throwaway. Not a big fan of that. I mean, it's reality. I just
What are you talking about? I'm really excited. I want to see if Jeremy Pruitt can keep it within 20.
Yes, we all know exactly where you stand on games like this.
That'll be fun to see.
I don't like your attitude.
It's Optimism Tuesday. I'm trying to be optimistic.
I don't believe it. I think you're lying. That's what I think.
I will say,
I hope it rains. I hope it's like just a downpour and the conditions are terrible. That's Tennessee's best bet because we're not going to be able to hold on to the ball if the weather's good. So hopefully you can bring Alabama down to your level.
I will say, even though it is frustrating to feel that way in year three, it kind of felt that way for Georgia on Saturday. Like,
yeah, it's true.
And they feel like they're there. So, yeah, I mean,
Georgia's supposed to have the best defense in the country, and Alabama put up 41 on them.
I mean, it still, even when Georgia had the lead, I still felt like Alabama was kind of getting there. And who knows? I mean, maybe if Alabama had some weird stuff had happened right in those moments, then it could have changed the game. Maybe if they play again, Georgia can beat them. But Alabama is just they're just a different animal.
Mm-hmm.
They are. Let's go back to the G3 Help Me Hotlines and grab Jay. Jay, you're on 3 and Out.
Hey guys.
Morning, Jay.
Good morning, man. Hey, who would y'all like to start at quarterback if you just had your choice?
Bailey.
I mean, would you? Bailey.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm rolling him the rest of the way.
Well, I'm of the mindset, I've seen this opinion that, you know, if Bailey were to have his confidence completely broken because he doesn't play maybe the best against his first start against Alabama, that if his confidence gets broken from that, then he don't have the mindset to be the quarterback here or at a big SEC school. I mean, that seems to make sense to me. I mean, others say, no, you can't do that. He's barely practiced. You can't roll him out there against Alabama. But I'm kind of the mindset that if he just ruins his confidence off of one game, then he's too fragile mentally to handle this.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. Like, if you are going to throw him out there and he doesn't handle it well, and when I say well, like, just knowing you're going to have mistakes happen, knowing that it's likely going to have a really difficult time, then, I mean, he's not meant to play at this level anyway. If you can't, because, I mean, there's a lot of quarterbacks who throw out there. We did that with Dobbs against Alabama when they had what
Twice.
Was arguably their
Twice.
Best team in the last decade. And he was able, he had his struggles, but he didn't let it break his will, and we saw that he could be a capable SEC quarterback. And, I mean, last time we had success was when he was playing quarterback. So, yeah, it's one of those things to where you just kind of have to roll through it with different quarterbacks, and if the guy's mentality is, oh, man, I got to play against this team, it doesn't go well, then that's it for my career, so be it.
You know, and it could go the other way. You know, obviously I don't think we're going to win regardless, but – you know, he may make some mistakes, but what if he makes a few plays?
And yeah, what if he plays pretty well and you lose by 17? I'm with you.
Yeah, I mean, like, and he goes back, he says, well, hey, man, that was my first start ever against Alabama, and I did some good things. That could boost his confidence because he could say, it's only going to get easier from here. So, I mean, it could go. I would like to see Bailey as well. And, guys, I just think it's going to be a rough way to start the game when you roll number two out there. And before he even takes his first snap, they're going to boo probably Coach Pruitt more so than anybody, but they're going to boo unmercifully. I mean, the boos are going to be whatever Tennessee fans are in there, they're going to boo Coach Pruitt.
They should.
I mean, it's just a tough way to start the game. It's embarrassing. It's an embarrassing way to start the game.
Yeah, I guess my issue is I don't know why they've treated the other two guys the way they've treated them. And what I mean by that is there's been no pecking order all the way back to last year on Brian Maurer and JT Shrout and what they think of them and how they communicate. Like, those guys don't even seem to know where they are in the plans. Like, it's just they've mismanaged that entire group. And with quarterbacks, I feel like in a way you have to be more honest with your quarterbacks. Like, with linebackers, like, who cares? You can be like, hey, buddy, you're the starter, and you tell the other guy, hey, you're not going to start this week, but we plan on getting you in some. And listen, I used to tell high school basketball players, hey, in this game coming up, you're probably not going to get to play. Because it helps kids know where they are in the process. Now, it doesn't mean that you tell them there's no chance that you're going to get better for the next game or whatever. But we used to tell our kids where they were in the rotation so that they were prepared mentally for the game. I don't know if you saw the Dodgers the other night. They told their guy he was starting game 7 at 1 o'clock, and he did not come out. He threw 8 straight balls. And the announcer, you know, Smoltz is talking about how kind of tough on a pitcher to have to sleep the night before the game not knowing whether he's the guy or not, and then not find out until, you know, afternoon for an 8 o'clock. Like, mentally, even professionals have trouble with that. So why do we treat these college kids who have to, you know, go to class? This year's been crazy. They probably got almost all their classes online, a couple here and there. Then they got to go in person to train in the football facility. They got to make sure they have their mask and they're in the right groups and that they know the playbook. And and they don't even know where they are. Like, and then when JG gets banged up for a play last year, no one even knew who was supposed to go in the football game. They not only did they not know if they were going to get to play or not, or how much, or what the plan was, they didn't even know who was supposed to go in. Like, that is coaching malpractice.
Well, not only that, Nate, but it seems like Stroud and Maurer are just looking over their shoulder, because if they do one thing wrong, they are getting pulled.
Yep.
One thing that that Coach Pruitt doesn't like, they're out of there. I mean, JG can do whatever. I mean, it's going to take a lot for him to get pulled, but they make one mistake and they're gone. So they're going in there with no confidence. They're going in there probably thinking, God, don't screw up. Because if you do, you're out of it. Coach is going to pull me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, JG and gets the leash, and they don't.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's just, I don't know. I don't know what Coach Pruitt is thinking. I don't know. I thought Coach Chaney would be better than this. I thought he was going to have control over the offense, kind of like be our CEO of the offense. That's why, you know, I felt good about it. But, you know, I don't know, guys. I don't know where we're going. Derek Dooley had good coaches. Butch Jones had good coaches on his staff, at least at one point in time, and we still lost. And I think Pruitt has good coaches, but that doesn't – I don't know why we can't get together. Penn State can literally have a coach molest and rape little boys in the shower, and just a few years later they're in the top 10. And we can't even get up off the mat and look like a functioning football program. I do not understand this place.
Thanks for the call, Jay.
That's what was so – like the Georgia game, I don't want to say throw it out, but they're a good team. But yeah. Where was the team we saw against South Carolina and Missouri? Like that team was good enough to beat Kentucky.
Sure.
And this wasn't even close to that team. Like how are we regressing?
This was a team that lost to Georgia State.
Yeah.
They didn't give great effort. They didn't care.
And I said it in the Georgia game. Like, you saw the team late just hang their heads after the fumble, scoop and score. Like, you saw everybody just kind of – that was it, right? Okay, this was the JG that we didn't want to see, and we were kind of expecting it at some point here. And it looked like they came out flat against Kentucky. And then he does the exact same thing twice in a row. Like, I heard Brandon say this yesterday. Like, I'm worried that Pruitt's lost the team. I don't think Pruitt's lost the team. I think the team's out on JG, and Pruitt won't fix that.
Mm.
Like, I just don't think you can play JG through it, if that makes sense. I don't think if you just leave him out there and tell him to get better and get better, like, I don't think that fixes it. And that's the scary part. He might give you the best chance to win as far as knowing the plays and running the offense, but if the other 21 guys aren't in, then he's the worst possible chance for success.
Yep.
Because they have to trust him. You want your defense to play hard? They need to have faith that their quarterback is either going to make mistakes and get better, or at least not turn the ball over and give the other team points. And I'm telling you right now, if you play him against Alabama and he throws an early pick or has a fumble, like, the floodgates are going to open. Bama's going to do whatever they want because the defense is going to be dejected. Offense ain't going to be feeling it. Like, it's going to be bad.
Yeah,
so I think you got it. You got to give this team a spark,
and
you have to.
And I watch a lot of NFL games, obviously, and sometimes they have that guy. They have like Ryan Fitzpatrick, starting quarterback, right? And they're down one score and they're driving third quarter, and it's third and 12, and he takes off running, towards the sideline. He's right there at the marker. So he, like, goes airborne, tries to get it, gets hammered, fumbles. The other team gets it. They're probably going to win the game now or whatever. But because of that, like, at least leadership and that effort, you know, the offensive linemen are picking him up or whatever. You know, like, there's a – even though he's kind of a loser, they still will play for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? With JG, it's like – I mean, Cole Kuechly – how embarrassing is it that the ESPN sideline reporter basically comes – they come back from a timeout. It's like, yeah, no one cares about this dude, man. No one came to talk to him. He said that felt like a nine-minute timeout. It was only three because that's how long the breaks are with the red hat guy. He said that felt like a nine-minute timeout, and no one came over and talked to Jerick mm-hmm. Quintana.
And Jordan Rogers said, like, that's a big problem.
Yeah.
Like, that – tells you everything you need to know. Like, no one on the team, it's not a, hey, man, like, we're going to motivate you and you're going to get better. Like, they know.
Yeah.
They know.
Because they've tried that already.
Yeah.
They've ridden with him for a long time now. They've tried to have his back. He went rogue. He went against the team, created a catastrophic play that gave you no chance then to
14
knock off
swing.
Alabama, and they still forgave him. And they took – I give the players a lot of credit. They have tried – and I don't really blame them if they quit on him at this point, because what that might be the only way to send the message to Jeremy Pruitt that this is unacceptable. Now here's
how upset do you think Pruitt was that Hank posted what he did last night?
Well, we'll get to that in a second. Let me make one more coaching point. We got at a break, then I want to get back to the G3 Help Me Hotlines. In coaching, and you know, I went to a parent meeting recently for one of my kids, and the coaches correctly said in the parent meeting, if you need to let us know, if we need to discuss anything, you know, it's best if you don't come up to us after games to have conversations, but we want to be here for you. If your kid has a concern or you need to let us know something, please reach out anytime. Other than that, let us know. We want to talk to you. But we will not discuss playing time because we're the coaches. Obviously, we want the team to be as successful as possible. If we have a different opinion, that's fine. You're just going to have to deal with that. We're the coaches. It's our role. We're not going to talk playing time. And that's the same thing I said when I was a coach, because that's the right way to approach it. And most of the time, you can watch the team play, and even if you disagree with the playing time or the pecking order, you can at least see some reason why you disagree with the coach. Mm-hmm. You can say, look, I think it should be this way because of XYZ, but the coach thinks it should be this way because of ABC, and we're just going to have to agree to disagree. In this situation, Jeremy Pruitt thinks that he's giving the team the best chance of success at succeeding, and I believe that. But if that's the case, and if somehow, magically, he's right that Jerick Garantano is the best chance of success, then they have done the worst job coaching quarterbacks that I've ever seen in the Southeastern Conference. And that's just as big a problem as what we think the problem is where we disagree here about playing time. So either way, and we rarely get into this situation, we make points in sports talk radio, but either way, this coaching staff is killing the football program. So either way you want to go, like, we're back at the same intersection, and that's just where we are. We'll get back to the phone lines on the flip side, and we'll tell you about Hank T. Some people probably don't even know what happened with Instagram or whatever it was. Stick with us right here. Final segment, hour two, next. Final segment, hour two. If you want to read up on the Hank T. Instagram post, it's all posted for you now at fanrunradio.com. I mean, it's social media. It doesn't mean everything, and sometimes it doesn't mean what you think it does. But Hank T. posted a picture of Harrison Bailey and his fingers crossed. So take that for however you want to take it. And you can read about it at fanrunradio.com.
I think that one you can probably take it.
Well, I've already heard the official propaganda come out of that it doesn't mean that, yada yada yada, but we know how those things go. Let's get back to the G3 Help Me Hotlines. We got Jay up next. What's up, Jay?
Tony.
Oh, sorry. Tony.
We just spoke with Jay.
Yeah, we just had Jay. Jay was just on.
Tony, you're on the air.
Earlier.
Hey, Tony.
What's up, Tom?
Hey, can you guys hear me? Sorry about that.
Yep, you're good.
You were talking earlier about somebody telling you that they just weren't even going to watch the Kentucky game and find something else to do.
Yeah.
And you're talking about apathy kind of setting in. And I, you know, I feel like I've found myself leaning that way a little bit. And I think it's at this point more of a mental health issue because ball fans are loyal to a T. So by Thursday or Friday every week, I've convinced myself that we can win. But, man, we are, I think the most disappointing part is how many years that we've gone by where the University of Tennessee, whether it's 12-game schedule or 10, we don't have a chance to win every single game on our schedule. Like, we convince ourselves that we can, but realistically, deep down, it's pretty disappointing where you don't have a chance to win every single game on your schedule. And, yeah, I know Alabama's on the schedule, but they haven't gone undefeated since, like, 2009 or something. I mean, they're not unbeatable. I mean, Auburn's beat them. Georgia's beat them. I mean, LSU did it. But we can't – we don't have a chance to win every game on our schedule. And I'm not saying that we should or – it's the fact that we can't. I mean, deep down we know that we're playing with a hand dealt a couple of losses. And, I mean, at what point, even in down year, I mean, Florida's competing for every game. Georgia's competing for every game. And here we are in almost a decade now where we're not in a place where we can have a legitimate chance to win all 12 games or at least play for all 12 games. And I think that that's a little bit of why people's apathy sets in. It's just kind of, you know, you're going to get too invested and you're already playing with a hand dealt that you can't play with everybody. And how long does that go on?
Yeah. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. I feel that way. I feel like there's teams that are worse than us that still feel like they have a chance to beat some of the big three teams. Mm-hmm. If they, you know, like South Carolina beats Georgia last year. Kentucky has seemed to give Florida fits recently. Mm-hmm. Like but we don't ever seem to get close to even winning those games. And we're always fighting it out, you know, in these nail biters with those teams. And so when you, if you lose one of those nail biters, it's nice to be in a nail biter with one of those teams that you feel like you shouldn't be able to play with. But right now, Tennessee hasn't had that moment here in, what, 2 or 3 years, and it's kind of frustrating.
I know that we've, like, talked about Florida and the Alabama and the Georgias of the world not looking at us as, like, a rivalry per se anymore, but do you think it's because they still get hyped up for that game because they still know it's Tennessee versus the teams that he mentioned aren't necessarily those main rival? Like, Kentucky versus Florida isn't a big game in Florida's mind, I feel like. I mean, I know that's a stretch, but it's...
Maybe, but we'll find out this week because Georgia played us ahead of Alabama. Alabama's going to play us behind the Georgia game, so you're getting it kind of both ways with those teams. Georgia seemed up to play Tennessee, but I don't know if it was... maybe.
I mean, Florida doesn't view us as a rivalry. Mm-hmm. Like, I think Alabama, that still falls in that category just because it's the third Saturday of October.
Yeah, it's a thing.
I mean, they don't view us as competitive, but they still view it as a rivalry just because there's that name at least attached to it. Florida, before the 90s, there wasn't really a whole lot there for Tennessee versus Florida. Georgia, it's up in the air. I mean, I know a lot of people that probably hate Georgia more than any other team that we play on our schedule. Bear still views like Auburn as a big rivalry, but we seldom play that game anymore. So
I don't know. I just feel like Tennessee is one of those like teams that like you circle on your schedule just because a lot of people hate Tennessee. So I feel like they get a little extra hyped up to face Tennessee. They want to hit you harder.
No, I think that's a good point. Sometimes if those teams are playing such bad opponents that they don't play as well as
like
Tennessee,
Georgia,
which is
South Carolina,
which
year.
Is a national brand. I think that applies, but that doesn't excuse the fact that we play.
Yeah,
like that.
I think some of those teams, though, you can get caught looking ahead. Like if you got Kentucky rolling in, but then let's say, you know, it's Alabama, just for example. They got Auburn the next weekend or Georgia the next weekend. Yeah, you get a closer game against a weaker opponent. I don't know that Tennessee, even if it's not a rivalry game, I still don't think teams view Tennessee as a team you can overlook. I think teams still prep for Tennessee,
exactly.
Whereas – you know, yeah, Vanderbilt's coming in this week. We got a big game the week after. We'll spend most of our time, you know, looking ahead. We'll put in some stuff for Vanderbilt. But, I think Tennessee is still a game that teams get up for.
I believe it's more of the fans view it that way. The other teams, the players that are playing now, they've never really seen Tennessee be good. So, I mean, obviously they prepare for it like it's any other game. And then again, this is just my opinion. I think Alabama – Georgia, Florida, getting ready to play Tennessee. I don't really think they really view it as this is a big-time game. This is just, hey, we need to go to work, do it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not
saying like, oh, yeah, Tennessee, big. I'm just saying I don't think we're so bad and have been so bad that on any given week, teams just think, oh, yeah, it's Tennessee, whatever.
Yeah, I think it's like – I mean, I come from Farragut where we were always the game circled on everyone's schedule if you just want to beat Farragut because everyone kind of hates Farragut type deal. And I feel like Tennessee gets a little bit of that where you just don't want to lose to Tennessee in the SEC no matter what.
Yeah, but I definitely think the fans – think that, and so that might, you know, that might make it matter more to the players and the coaches, like, oh, we can't lose this one, so we better not overlook Tennessee.
I definitely do agree with Davey. Like, the players are my age, so they've never seen good Tennessee football, so it's very hard to have that connection.
Sad.
To it,
but they definitely have Tennessee a tier above the bottom tier of the SEC, because we see that even in the recruiting successes Tennessee
mm-hmm.
does have.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like I don't know. They're just in the middle, I guess, for the players. That would be my guess at it. I mean, sure, I'm sure when they see Vandy on the schedule, they're like, okay, not going to be a big deal this week. I mean, you can't help it. But, you know, with Tennessee, it's like, hey, Tennessee's not that good this year, but let's make sure we beat them, you know, that
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. All right, we'll come back. We'll kick off hour three next. Hang tight, Andrew, if you can. We'll go to you first next up. If you want to wait on the G3 Help Me Hotline, 865-546-8200. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out.